Invite you to take your scripture and turn with me in the letter of John, first letter of John, chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll be reading just the first six verses of this chapter, 1 John 4, as we continue to think together about the anatomy of a Christian, what a Christian looks like. How a Christian lives, what the Christian is all about. And so, 1 John chapter 4, this is the word of the Lord. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity we have this day to worship you, to be in your presence, to sing glorious hymns, to know that you have promised to meet with us, and Lord, especially that you have promised to use your word to accomplish your purpose, that your word never goes out and returns void. And so whoever we are this morning, we know, Lord, that you will use this word this morning to accomplish your great and perfect and holy purposes in the lives of each one who is here. And so, Lord, we pray that purpose would be to draw each and every one of us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would know him better, that we would love him more. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is December 12th. Do you have the Christmas spirit? Do you have the Christmas spirit? Do you hear people speaking about having the Christmas spirit? I suspect that you do. I came across a little gospel tract a number of years ago, and that was its title, What is the Christmas Spirit? And it went like this. One Christmas, this writer wrote, I read a newspaper article written by a reporter who had been searching for the meaning of the Christmas spirit. When he concluded his quest, he rated this answer as the best. It's in your heart. It feels warm and glowy. You can't buy it, and you can't get it from anybody else. Okay. All right. Well, that's the popular concept, isn't it, of the Christmas spirit, a warm, kind of glowy feeling. You can't really describe it inside us. We just have to get it somehow. That's a little tricky, though. Does it hit you when you unpack your decorations and start playing Christmas music? And then all of a sudden, Christmas spirit comes. Does it require a Christmas tree? Do you need a Christmas tree to have the Christmas spirit? One strand of lights, or do you have to have two? Is it more presents? Or does it come down to out-dazzling our neighbors with a bigger outdoor display? And then, yeah, we've got the Christmas spirit. You don't. What really is the Christmas spirit? Well, 1 John 4, I believe, speaks about the Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit, according to the Bible, is given by God. Given by God. The problem that John is addressing as we come into this fourth chapter of our study of 1 John The problem that John seems to be addressing is that there was a tendency to accept uncritically all teaching which seemed religious or inspirational or spiritual. And so John begins this chapter as he's talking to the Christian and describing what a Christian is like, what they look like, and so forth. His concern at the outset of this chapter is that we need to realize that some people will claim to speak for God. Some people might come to us and say, I have a word of God from, or a word from God for you. And modern day folks might claim to be prophetical today, and they might profess to speak on behalf of God, or to act for God, or to call you to certain actions on God's behalf. And John is saying that we need to be alert. We need to not just accept everything we hear, but we need to test the spirits, whether they be from God. Now, John, you know, in this letter, he's been talking about three different kind of tests for the Christian. He's been talking about the moral test. That is, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, one way, John says, you will know by your fruit. You will know by the fruit in your life. He's been talking about what some have called the social test. How do we know we are Christian? We will know by our love for one another. So not only by our fruit, that is obedience to God, but we will know by our love for one another, so that not only the world knows we're Christians by our love, but you know you're a Christian by your love. And so that was the social test. And then, of course, throughout John, there's also a theological test, or a doctrinal test. That is, are we actually holding to the truth as it is in Jesus? Is the teaching we have received and that we are convicted about and that we live out of, is it the truth? Is it the truth? And so John has something to say this morning to us, to both teachers and hearers, with regard to what the Spirit of truth actually teaches. At the end of chapter 3, he had told us that we know we belong to God, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And then John says, this is how you know you're dealing with the Spirit of truth. First thing we notice in these little verses here is that the Bible calls us to test the spirits. Verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many, many false prophets have gone out into the world. We're thinking about the Christmas spirit. The spirit that comes from God, the Bible says, is given to believers, but don't believe every spirit you hear. You need to discern which, in fact, is the spirit of truth. So God gives Christians the Holy Spirit, but we need to understand this morning, there are other spirits. And the Bible says Christians are to believe in Jesus, not believe everything. Christians are commanded to love, but we're not commanded to love the world. Christians do not believe everything and love indiscriminately. John says a Christian is not gullible or credulous, that is, believing something without any kind of reason or anything to it at all. Now, some see, of course, the Christmas spirit as believing anything can happen. So there can be a Santa Claus, there can be reindeer flying, there can be snowmen coming to life, and the birth of a baby named Jesus. Because, after all, at Christmas, we can, some would say, believe anything. Is that the Christmas spirit? Well, instead, no, John says, instead, we must test, we must try, the word is, the spirits to see their origin. That is what I'm hearing actually coming from God? Anyone claiming to speak a word of inspiration or truth, what they say, says John, must be tested. You remember the Apostle Paul when he was in Berea, he said, these folks are more praiseworthy than the folks in Thessalonica, because these folks in Berea, they test everything to see what I'm saying, if it is of God, if it's according to God. Because the Spirit of God here in this verse, in these verses, is the Spirit of truth. Verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the Spirit of truth. The Christian is concerned with truth, and we must test the truth. Why? Well, John says this is so important to test the spirits because there is another spirit at work. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. This spirit also, at the end of verse 6, it's the spirit of error, or the spirit of falsehood. So we need to test. Why? Because not only is the true Christmas spirit, there is the spirit of truth given by God, but there is an awful lot of spirit of error and falsehood around us. Now, don't be fooled here, John would tell us. Our concern is not with a future Antichrist, first of all, but the present Antichrist. Now, John, of course, is writing, over 2,000 years ago to us. But 2,000 years ago, John says, this Antichrist teaching and falsehood is here. So this is 2,000 years ago, there was false teaching and false prophets. Antichrist, again, simply means opposition to Christ. Right? Any teaching that opposes that Christ has come in the flesh, that is the spirit, the Bible says, of Antichrist. And he is all, of course, about falsehood and false prophets. Now, the thing is, of course, Isaiah spoke about this, and this will sound very familiar to you, perhaps, as you think about our contemporary situation, but again, it's similar to any situation that we go through. Woe, says Isaiah in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those. Well, those are false teachers. What was Isaiah saying there? Well, he's saying there's false teachers who turn morality upside down. And they call good things evil. They call evil things good. They call sweet things, that's bitter. They call bitter things sweet. And you say, well, we say, well, that's abortion. And no, someone says, well, that's pro-choice. Someone says, well, that's killing off our seniors. Someone else says, no, that's euthanasia. That's a good death. That's caring for our elderly. Someone says, well, that's homosexuality. And say, no, that's an alternative lifestyle is what that is. And things are put on their head. I remember reading one point something by Richard Dawkins, the great promoter of evolutionary theory, where he actually called himself at one point the chaplain of the devil. Because he's trying to, the God delusion on all things like that. People who believe in God are out there. So he, kind of jokingly referred to himself that way. They have their pulpits, false teachers. University lecturers, government leaders, they got podcasts, and they're in the pulpits too of churches. And so, John says, we must try the spirits. Over in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul put it this way, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Test everything, and especially what you hear proclaimed as truth. And you say, well, what about Jesus? Was Jesus concerned about these things? He certainly was. Matthew 13:22, Jesus said, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I've told you all things beforehand. And so whether it's John or Paul or the Lord Jesus, there is a need to test. And if there was a need to test, I would suggest in the first century where they didn't have books, they didn't have the internet. I mean, you say to John, well, what do you got to test? It's not like these folks are, how much are they actually taking in? But if they needed to test 2,000 years ago when there was no internet, in our day, when there are many voices, many cults, all claiming inspiration and writing books, you know, no regular Christian before Gutenberg in the 15th century owned books at all. Now you can get a book in one day from Amazon or less. You can get your own book published, you know, just like that. And much is being said, much is being written. And so John says, friends, there's an urgent need for the Christian, for discernment, not to believe everything, but to test. Now, second thing, how do we test the spirits to see if they are from God? Well, here's the thing. We're looking for the Christmas spirit. Notice what John says, verse 2. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, Christ means anointed one in the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. So Jesus Christ, the anointed one, as prophet, priest, and king, has come in the flesh. Every spirit that confesses that is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is how you know, says John. We're looking for the Christmas spirit. The Spirit of God, of course, is referred to in the Scripture as the Spirit of truth. He is all about the truth. John 14 says he is sent by the Father. John 15 says he's sent by the Son. John 16, it says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, that the Holy Spirit will glorify the Son. The Spirit will take what Jesus has said and will glorify that. The Holy Spirit, as one has said, is a floodlight on Jesus, pointing us to Jesus. What is the standard of truth then? Well, Jesus says in John 17 in his prayer to the Father, he said, Father, sanctify these folks by the truth. Your word is truth. Because as Peter says, you know, these prophets and apostles, they didn't speak according to their own will or their own interpretation or what they had for breakfast that morning. You know, they spoke as they were carried along, you know, by the Holy Spirit, as if under the wings of eagles. The prophets and apostles carried along. So what they wrote was the very truth of God. So anyone speaking by the Spirit of God acknowledges Jesus Christ in the flesh, confesses that Jesus has come. Jesus Christ has come, the anointed one, our prophet, priest, and king. Prophet because he speaks the truth, priest because he offers the sacrifice of himself for our sin, and he comes as the king to rule over our lives. And he's come in the flesh. Now, this is not, of course, just confessing that Jesus is divine or superior or God, because you know very well, as Jesus goes about his ministry in the Gospels, every demon worth his salt knows Jesus is God. So that's not what this passage is talking about. It's not just about confessing Jesus is divine. No. Evil spirits know he's God. Only the Spirit of God confesses him, right? Acknowledges him and honors him and submits to him as God and Christ. That is my prophet. Every word of his is truth. My priest, he is my lamb and spotless sacrifice. And my king, he rules over me and my life. Everyone who confesses that, says John, oh boy, then you know they have the Christmas spirit. Specifically, the Spirit of God, John says, confesses that the historical baby Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That is, he is eternal. The one who was eternal with the Father has come, has taken on the same flesh that you and I have. And he's come to be with us and to die, to rise, and to reign. Not everybody confesses that, says John. And you know they don't have the Christmas spirit. For instance, as opposed to the teaching of a man named Cerinthus in the first century AD, who taught that Christ came upon Jesus at his baptism and then left him at the crucifixion. So that it wasn't Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. No, the Christ was upon him for a time, but left him. As opposed to the Mormons, who teach that Jesus, like all human beings, was once pre-existent as a spirit in heaven, but became a man, and eventually Jesus became a God. That's not the Christ coming in the flesh. As opposed to the Jehovah's Witnesses, who teach that Jesus is a created being, but not God himself. As opposed to Islam, that teaches that Jesus is a great prophet, but he's not God. As opposed to modern day portrayals of Jesus as a great teacher, a moral example, a great heartwarming story like Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, or as opposed to modern many academics and some professing Christians who deny Jesus his rightful place and say, Jesus, yes, you can save me from my sin, but you are not my Lord. I will worship you on a Sunday morning. I'll give you a bit of worship, but you don't have any kind of, you can't touch my Monday. That's mine. But I'll come to church Sunday morning. You're my Savior, but not the Lord. Denying Jesus Christ. Come. No. Jesus the Christ, says John, come in the flesh. Existed before, now he's arrived, and all those who confess him, oh boy, you know, they are of God. They are speaking the Christmas spirit. Anyone who denies, friends, Jesus his rightful place is promoting the work, according to John, of another spirit. Right? Verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is simply not from God. And so that's how we tell. Now, what does that mean then for us? What are we called to, for instance, this Christmas? Well, verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So what do we do about this Christmas spirit? Well, our response is that we need to acknowledge and confess the truth as it is in Jesus, confident that the Spirit within us, who speaks the truth, who testifies to Jesus Christ, is greater than he who is in the world. He's come to take away sin, destroy the devil's work, rescue us from the punishment for sin we deserve. So we confess that. We do not confess along with the world the moral of The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, all about Ebenezer Scrooge. That's not the Christmas spirit. Many think it is. Kind of goes like this. In that novel, A Christmas Carol, three Christmas spirits appear to Ebenezer Scrooge. The first is the ghost of Christmas past, and he shows Scrooge how messed up a life, what a miser he is, and how he became such a cold-hearted miser. And the ghost of Christmas past tries to convince Scrooge, he's bitter and he really needs to change. The ghost of Christmas present is the second of the three spirits. According to Dickens' novel, the ghost of Christmas present appears to Scrooge as a jolly giant. That sound familiar? With dark brown curls. He wears a fur-lined green robe and on his head a holly wreath set with shining icicles. He carries a large torch and reveals the ability to change his size to fit into any space. He can do great things, this jolly old man. He also bears a scabbard with no sword in it, a representation of peace on earth. And he shows Scrooge the suffering of people in his life, suffering that will only get worse unless something changes in Scrooge's life. And then there's the ghost of Christmas future. He's the most fearsome of the spirits. It appears to Scrooge as a figure entirely muffled in a black hooded cloak, except for a single deathly hand with which it points. And this character never speaks in the story, but Scrooge understands it. He knows that it looks the way it looks because it represents what the future holds for Scrooge if he doesn't change his ways. So all three of those spirits point to what Scrooge must do to change. Things he needs to do to redeem his life. And the story ends with Scrooge, a transformed man. But the three spirits of Dickens' novel, their message is this: you can change yourself. And you've got the power within you. And all you need is some kind of amorphous Christmas spirit, and you can make some big changes for 2022. But it all depends on you. That is not the Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit is only Jesus, the Christ, who has come in the flesh, has the ability to rescue and save and change and transform me. Because he is man, he's able, because as man, he bears the punishment of my sin on the cross. And he has the power to save me because he is God in the flesh, the eternal Word, perfect, holy, blameless, a sacrifice fully sufficient to pay and atone for all my sin. That, friends, is the Christmas spirit. Our response must be to embrace this work of the Spirit, embrace the Jesus whom the Spirit of Truth speaks about to us, to live out the Christmas spirit, that is, testifying to God's grace in Jesus Christ. That's what the Christmas spirit is. Speaking about Jesus Christ, come in the flesh as my only hope and my only Savior. And John says, anybody who confesses that, you see, you know, they are of the truth. If they don't confess Jesus, if you don't confess Jesus yourself today, no matter who you are, you can do all sorts of good things for the Lord. You can go to church all your life. But if you never confess this Jesus, John says, you are not from God. You might look like you're from God. You might share a lot of things in resemblance to the people of God. But unless you confess Jesus yourself as your Lord and Savior, prophet, priest, king, fully God and fully man, you are not from God. Because as Paul says in Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. That's how we recognize Him, you see, the Spirit of Truth. Wherever Jesus Christ is magnified and exalted, whether it's your personal life, whether it's your family life, or whether it's in the life of the church, that is where the Spirit of God is. Let me close with this. It's a poem by Anne Graham Lotz. You'll know her as the daughter of Billy Graham. She's got a poem in the back of this book that she wrote called Give Me Jesus. And I won't read the whole thing, but enough. It's about him, the Christmas spirit. He, Jesus, is enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He is immortally gracious. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizons of the globe. He is God's Son. He is the sinner's Savior. He is the captive's ransom. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He is august and he is unique. He is unparalleled and unprecedented. He is undisputed and undefined. He is unsurpassed and unshakable. He is the lofty idea in philosophy. He is the highest personality in psychology. He is the supreme subject in literature. He is the unavoidable problem in higher criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of theology. He is the cornerstone, the capstone, and the stumbling stone of all religion. He is the miracle of all ages. Just give me Jesus. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He creates and he cleanses. He restores and he rebuilds. He heals and he helps. He reconciles and he redeems. He comforts and he carries. He lives and he loves. He is the God of the second chance, the slim chance, and the no chance. Jesus, just give me Jesus. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. He is the key to knowledge. He is the fountain of life. He is the wellspring of joy. He is the storehouse of wisdom. He is the foundation of faith. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway to peace. He is the roadway of righteousness. He is the gateway to glory. He is the highway to happiness. Just give me Jesus. He guards the young. He seeks the stray. He finds the lost. He guides the faithful. He rights the wronged. He defends the weak. He comforts the oppressed. He welcomes the prodigal. He heals the sick. He cleanses the dirty. He restores the failure. He mends the broken. He blesses the poor. He fills the empty. He clothes the naked. He satisfies the hungry. He elevates the humble. He forgives the sinner and he raises the dead. Just give me Jesus. He is indestructible. He is indescribable. He is incomprehensible. He is inescapable. He is irresistible. He is irrefutable. He had no predecessor, would have no successor. He's the lion and the lamb. He's God and he's a man. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. Please, writes Anne Graham Lotz, just give me Jesus. That, friends, is the Christmas spirit. And may we demonstrate that spirit today, this week, this month, and forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Savior. We thank you for the Spirit of truth who lives within us. We thank you for that floodlight that the Holy Spirit shines on the glory, majesty, and beauty of the Savior. And so, Lord, we hear from the Apostle John this morning that this is how we know the Spirit of truth from the Spirit of error. So, Lord, we pray that as we read and as we listen and as we go from place to place, Lord, we would look for those people and those books and those podcasts and those things that magnify and exalt Jesus Christ. Come in the flesh as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray for all each one of us here this morning that we would know this Jesus, that we would know this Christmas spirit as he testifies within us that we belong to him. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.